Hello, everybody out there in the internet. Welcome to Aimless Babble Z, episode 309. I'm Ticketmaster, joined by
Traptical.
So yeah, we've got so much been playing. Middle segment, the news, and RPGs missing, obviously, since there's no RPG.
Yep.
In the introduction.
He's not just being quiet.
So I did go and play some Destiny because the 320 Ghosts arrived, so I was able to enjoy being at the max level before the raising of the light level, whenever they raise it. So did a nice victory lap in the hard mode raid, and then we ended up actually successfully five-manning it for once. And then it was funny. It was funny because someone joined us at the very end when we got to orcs, so they got three loot drops, but they're terrible because it's Destiny. So there you go.
Wait, were there more? There was more than one 320, right?
Me and Zahro. Okay. Game was already 320.
Okay.
So yeah.
Victory lap. So just the one raid then?
No, I did. I came in at the end of the first one that they were on because they started without me because I didn't know they were going to start without me. Because it goes, everybody thought I was going to say, or thought I was going to leave or stop playing Destiny, even though if they knew how to read, they would know that was not the case, but whatever. So yeah. And I was playing, but it was nice because I was able to play stuff and then be like, oh, people are raiding without me. Whatever, I'll go do something else. And then like after playing, I was like, yeah, I will not miss this. And glad I have time to play this stuff. So yeah, I'm kind of itching to get out of the Destiny scene now. And I can feel its grip slipping away, and I'm so close to being free. I can feel it. It'll be great. No year three, I'll be done. And then I'm sure Disney T is like gonna be a train wreck. I mean, it's not gonna be a train wreck, but it's like, at this point, it's like, I'm already like off of it. It's like 10 year plans out the out. It's like, yeah, 10 year plan is like totally wrecked. And it's like, you know, whatever, man. I have other things to do and games to play. And I'm working through my backlog and actually playing games for once. And it's great. And I'm like, yeah, it's gonna happen. The backlog be done is, commencing soonish again. Well, I guess I was kind of streaming stuff this week, but, or this month, but it's whatever. I figured it out. I've got a system system's working. Stuff's going down. And I'm playing through games and it's great. So yeah.
Nice.
Iron Banner this week, but I'm not going to play it because it's like, whatever. I have a full Iron Banner armor and I don't need any of that crap. So whatever.
You got both sets?
I don't need both sets, Tropical. I'm happy with the one set because why do you need two? Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't seen them.
Yeah, maybe the second set will be nice and pretty, and I'm like, oh, maybe. But yeah, I highly doubt it's going to happen because I'm so over it. So, yeah. The amount of loathing and not happiness I have for the game is just, yeah, there. So, yeah.
Fine. I didn't play Destiny at all.
And then, let's see. Well, I guess like a game that both of us played that came out last week that's having less issues than it was last week. She can actually play online now. Street Fighter V. Oh yeah.
So good.
Feeling it. Oh yeah.
It was really cool. So I think it was Saturday or maybe Sunday. Someone on my friends list and probably not listening. So, but if you do hear this, sorry, I don't remember where I know you from. He was basically like, hey, do you want to play a few matches? He saw me online and I messaged back like, well, I'm terrible and I don't have a microphone, but sure. And so they invited me into their party and then I was just playing
Battle Lounge
with them.
I haven't had a chance to check that out yet. Is it just like the Fight Lobby from 4? Or is it different?
Actually, I don't remember because I don't know. It's been a really long time since I've been in a Street Fighter 4 Fight Lobby. But then the other thing was, like, it was just us two. So it was sort of annoying that after, like, depending on the settings, you can change them. But our settings initially were just, like, it would kick us back to the lobby every time one of us won a match. Or, more accurately, every time he won a match, it would go back to the lobby. And then we have to go back into the lobby and go back into the game, select characters and stuff. But you could set it to, like, best of five and things like that. So it would keep you in there.
That's cool.
But what was really cool was, like, initially, he just chose, I guess, his best character, Zangief. And I was like, I don't know anyone, so I'll pick Ryu, because obviously. And then went in, got destroyed, and he was like, you know, if you just want to run through things, we could do that too. And I was like, okay. And yeah, basically, he taught me stuff. And it was pretty amazing because before those lessons, and it was just like a few hours, and I was like, I had never won a ranked round in Street Fighter V, not even one round. And after that, I've won 5 ranked matches at this point. I was like, oh, I am improving. And none of them were just like, oh, this person is terrible. They were all like very intense on my side. Like, I don't know if I can do this. But yeah, I've won 5 rounds. I've still lost way more, but I'm feeling pretty like, oh, I kind of understand the game now. I think my problem before, well, one was like execution. I wasn't very good at. And it was pretty neat. Like, he was able to identify what was wrong with my execution for certain combos. Like the low medium kick into a Hadouken. I just couldn't pull it out. And I did it a few times. And, you know, this is over the internet. So he doesn't know what I'm pushing or anything. He just sees I'm doing a medium low kick and then nothing happens. And after a bit, he was like, oh, I think what's happening is you're not mashing down. You're like pushing in a direction or something in the crouch. And that's why you can't link the two moves together. I was like, oh, really? And I started doing it. I was like, oh my gosh, that was the reason. This is crazy. And yeah, it was really neat. And so execution was one of my problems. And the other problem was, occasionally I kind of know what I'm doing as far as dodging out of the way and blocking. But once I've done that, I had no moves to like throw back, or what people commonly refer to as punishing. You know, if I block a heavy Shoryuken, it's like, okay, now is the time to punish. But before this, I was like, medium punch. That was my punish. And it's like, I don't know anything else. Or like one Hadouken. It's like, okay, you know, that knocked him down, but it's like, that's it. That didn't really do anything. And now it's like, oh, I know a few combos. It's like, oh, so I can actually do something now when I find myself in the situation that I can punish someone. And yeah, I guess from there, my eyes have been opened to how you're supposed to play these games. I'm like, oh, this is very, very exciting. And I spent, I think, Tekken, you streamed like 8 hours or something.
I played for 8 hours Tuesday. I was like, man, I'm just really in the Street Fighter.
Yeah, I watched maybe an hour, and then I was like, now I really want to play. And I sat there, like, so I had your stream on the screen next to me, and then I had my screen and where I was playing, and then I had my laptop doing some other stuff, and I was just like, overload, but it was really awesome.
It was funny because I hadn't played any ranked matches until Tuesday, because I was like, well, I'm just keep playing casual matches until I feel like I'm ready. And then I hadn't lost any casual matches, so I was like, whatever, I have nothing to lose, let's just go into ranked, because I'm, like, at, like, my peak right now, is, like, where I'm at with this character, so I'm only going to get better if I play ranked now and just keep going for it. And that's pretty much what happened, because I started off with, like, 3 losses, and I was like, dang it! But then I, like, won 5 straight, and I was like, okay, this is weird. And I just kept, like, having these, like, weird streaks of, like, winning, losing, or just, like, it's all over the place. And then it was cool, because, like, someone came into my stream that was, like, watching it, and they're like, I kind of had, like, an Obi-Wan Kenobi moment, like, you did too, and, like, someone was, like, helping me. Mm. What was it, like, more, actually, there's, like, more today. Like, yesterday, they're just, like, watching and, like, just, like talking to me during, like, chatting it up with me in stream, so that was pretty cool. And then, like, today, they gave me some tips of, like, you know, what I should be doing, what I shouldn't be doing, and I was, like, kind of thinking about, like, I was, like, thinking about my playstyle versus, like, in Street Fighter 4. I was like, man, I used to, it seems like all my bad habits of that, like, in that game, like, I don't have them anymore. I'm, like, more patient. I don't jump as often. I kept all my good defense. It's gotten better where I'm just, like, aware of, like, I need to, like, not do these things.
Mm.
And so I've, like, been able to, like, just take all that into this one and then, like, be even better and, like, yeah. But then it's, like, I looked at the trophy list and I'm, like, dude, I have no idea when I'm going to get to, like, gold tiering, because that's, like, that seems impossible right now. I mean, silver, maybe, but I got to, like, bronze, and then, like, the one above bronze, and then I, like, kept losing, and then I got, like, demoted, and I got, like, promoted back up again. I was like, oh, let me just stop.
Oh, so you like, can get like, demoted.
Yeah, because I didn't know that could happen, because I was, like, wondering about it, and then I got demoted, and then I got promoted back up to, like, the one above bronze. I was like, okay, let's stop here. And the next time, I'm going to pick a different character so I don't lose all my league points. And then I can let all the people that are awesome keep playing and get, like, really high rank in, like, all their characters, and then all the non-awesome people will be left for me to come back with you and then get back to Silver and Gold. Yes, hopefully. We'll see. But yeah.
Oh, wait. Each character has their own league points?
I think so. I don't think it carries over between characters. I don't know that I've only been playing with one character, so I'm not sure. I think that's how it probably works, though.
Interesting. I think I have triple-digit league points right now, which is amazing. Low or, like, mid-hundreds. I'm like, wow, that's cool. Because I did win my first ranked match before the training. It just happened. And I had to chip a guy to death, but it worked. I was like, oh, cool, amazing. I won my first game. And I had league points. And after that, in, like, the span of half an hour, I lost them all. I was like, well, I'm back at zero. And then but now I was like, oh, I actually got that trophy that where you have to win three ranked matches in a row. And I was like, that is insane. What happened? I am so impressed. Very good.
Yeah, and then, oh, yeah, I had a super terrible moment happen today when I was, like, playing Survival on Hard, which is 50 wins, and I got to, like, 40 or 41, and then I lost, and I was like, that is depressing, and I don't want to play anymore. So I just, like, basically stopped playing Survival mode until, like, yeah, it'll be a while before I go back to Survival mode, because I was, like, super unhappy and salty about that, and I was like, whatever, and I just went to, like, the whole, or, like, started looking into the menu, like, how to, like, matchmake yourself in the matches, and I was like, oh, you just sit in the thingy and it like queues you, or it doesn't queue you up, it just like keeps searching until it finds one, and it just like keeps searching, like you just, and then like after you finish that match you can just go back to searching, and it's like, oh, it's pretty streamlined, so it's pretty easy to get into matches if you just want to play matches. I was like, I'll just do that. So,
yeah. I think it happened to you too, like I was just sitting in the main menu and I went, like I left my console and I came back and I was like, oh, you lost to someone. I was like, I was in the, wait, it's still searching even if you're sitting in the main menu? Yeah, it was AFK.
I didn't get an AFK loss. I matched up with somebody that was AFK.
Okay.
At least the first round they were. And then they're like playing the second round. I was like, oh, the old I'm not there, but then I'm there trick, eh? But yeah, I won. It's fine. So I was like, yeah, that was weird. But yeah, I think that did happen. I was like in the menus and I was like just not in a mode of play, and it was still like in the background fight requesting, and I didn't know it was gonna like just like a new fighter has approached, like when you're just doing stuff in the menus and it's like, oh, I'm going to do a match now. And it throws you off. Like, oh, it's still looking. Well.
No, the other weird thing that happened to me the first time I was playing online was I had turned on both ranked and casual matches, battle requests, and like they come in with different colors, and like casual matches come in as blue, and it was just very strange, like you wouldn't think so. You would think that people would play about the same. But they don't. Like, the one casual match I played was some guy who just, like, did nothing and then destroyed me. And then messaged me and said it was a troll match. And I was like, okay, I don't know. I wasn't expecting to win anyways.
Yeah, after I started playing rank, I'm like, I'm never going back to casual because it'll completely mess up the my mental mindset of like the competition I'm expecting to play against if it's like super low below the threshold I'm at now. So I'm like, let's just not even bother casual anymore and just keep our 15-0 record. And he's like, yes, we never lost a casual match. Yes.
So have you noticed as you go up, is there more diversity in the characters that people are using?
It's pretty random. I've only fought one Fang, which was cool because he just destroyed me because I had no idea like how to approach that character, and like they had like this poison attack and they spit poison goo. It's weird.
Yep.
And then like sometimes I'll get a bunch of like the same character in a row, and it's just like a bunch of Nicalis, a bunch of Ryus, a bunch of Kims, a bunch of Nashes. Man, I've played a ton of Nashes. Like that's like the character I've played the most. A couple Zangiefs, which is cool because like one was like I tried to like. I play the same style against them, but I lost the one, and I beat one. But the first one was like super tense because I was like, oh man, I gotta like keep him away from you. He's gonna like throw me. And it's like, just super crazy, awesome, tense match there. And then some Bisons, which is, ugh, I hate Bison because I just play terrible against them. A couple Cammies, some Chun-Li's, some Karens. I haven't played a Dalsim yet, so still waiting on Dalsim. I think every other character I've played, maybe? So, yeah. But it seems, it's just random, so.
Yeah.
I think you can set it on the settings to, like, maybe, or maybe only in casual matches to, like, what characters you want to fight against, or
oh,
maybe
really?
It's just fight.
I haven't seen that in ranked.
I think there's. I don't think it's in ranked though.
Huh.
So. I saw something like that in the battle menu or whatever it's called, but I didn't mess around with it. So, or maybe it was just the replay thingy when I was looking at that, or the ranking things. There's some stuff where you can like filter by character, and I was like, I don't remember what menu I was in, so it might have been something completely different.
So now that I've played it some more, it seems like, and I don't know if you noticed, but does it feel like moves are easier to pull off in Street Fighter V than they were in 4?
I don't...
Like, I was really bad. Like, I could basically never do Link combos. And now,
I would say,
like,
yeah,
I can actually
do them.
And it feels like
there's,
the window is bigger.
Yeah, because there's, like, this one I can do Ryu Super from, like a bunch of moves before I actually do the super. Like, before, for me, that was, like, always an issue if it wasn't just out of the Shuriken setup. So now it's, like, I finally have that. But, I can do it, like, more often than I probably could before because if it's just, like, hold down and hit heavy punch and then just start matching a bunch of inputs. Usually, like, it'll, like, randomly do it sometimes and sometimes it won't. Yeah. Like, ah, whatever. But it's still better than, like, actually being able to have a chance to do it than, like, not having a chance to do it.
Because there are no... I think I've only seen one move that you need to hit all the punches with. It's the reversal. Like, if you're...
Oh, yeah, the V reversal.
Like, push them.
Yeah, I can't actively do that in a match yet.
I've done it once. Yeah. It was like, oh, that was cool. I don't know, in fighting games, I like doing the sort of counter type stuff. So, Ryu's parry is really fun. And then the one time, I was like, I'm going to try to pull that out. And I was like, oh, it came out! It's much easier to do, I think, on a fight stick, because the buttons are just all there. Harder to mash two face buttons and a trigger at the same time.
Oh yeah, I picked up a actually new controller this week from GameStop. I picked up the Fight Commander 4 from Hori. So I wanted the Magcats one, but I guess didn't have any. So I'm just gonna, I'll probably pick one of those up too. I just wanted to like see what it's like, because the one I had before, it's like it's fine. It's just bugging me the way that it's getting into my head of like maybe I need a new stick and like the like D-pad's a bit worn out or something. But after picking this one up, I'm like, okay, I hope better now.
Is this one for the PS4 or is it a PS3 one?
Yeah, it's for the PS4. So, oh, that's the other thing is I don't have to like have it be paired with the DualShock and have the battery drain. So
is it wired?
Yeah, it's wired.
Okay.
But then apparently I guess it's like a PS3 and PS4 one, so you can like have it be either. So if I ever need to play a PS3 fighting game, I can use it. So that's cool.
That is nice.
But then it's like weird because it's not symmetric. It's got like this weird left dongle thingy on the left side that like it's a bit longer.
Yeah, like you can hold it with, because you're supposed to hold it with your left hand more, and then your right hand is sort of like floating on top of it.
That's the other thing, is like the bottom's not flat. It's like it's curved like a DualShock, so it's like kind of threw me off a bit. And then like you don't even use like the L2 and R2 buttons, so it's kind of weird that they're there. Well, it's weird like the way the shoulders are buttons are set up. There's like a toggle for it and stuff, but it's interesting. At least I don't use the L2, R2, I just use L1 and R1.
Yep. Wait, what is mine set up as? Actually, yeah, that's right.
Or maybe I just have R1 and R2 set, I think, actually. Whatever, it's weird. I'm pretty sure it's weird, because I was playing with it, and I was like, yeah, this is different. And it's weird, you can, like, mess with the D-pad to make it, like, not be the, like, default angle at that. When you, like, have it on every other controller, you can, like, tilt it to the... like a 45-degree angle, I guess, to, like, angle it. I don't know why you do that.
Wait, like, physically? On the controller?
Yeah.
Really?
There's a thingy that you can slide, and then you can, like, rotate it, and then you can screw it back in, and it, like, stays in place. And there's also, like, this thing on the back of that part where you can change the sensitivity on your D-pad inputs to, like, make it easier to do, like, all those critical or motion...
Wow.
Or like there is, I guess, if you're playing Zangief. I haven't messed with that, because I'm like, yeah, I haven't seen that.
That's so fancy.
I kind of wonder what it'll be like, but I'm like, I don't want to mess with it. I completely ruined my
input
right now. Yeah, that would be weird.
Neat.
And it's funny too, because like when I did that, I had a GameStop gift card. I completely forgot to use it. And I was like, I came back and I was like, I didn't use a gift card, did I? I was like, well, whatever. So now I kind of feel like I have to go back again. And yeah. Still have that GameStop gift card, and yeah, whatever. Or just buy something online, whatever.
Good times. Was there anything else on Street Fighter?
I have like almost 300,000 fight money already, so it's not hard to get.
Actually, yeah, you get quite a bit of fight money just playing story. Because I didn't see any of that. I played two story campaigns and then the network cut out, so I didn't see how much fight money you can get. And then I was watching part of your stream and it's like, oh, you reach level 5 or level 8 or something with your character and you get a bunch of fight money. It's like, well, that's playing the story mode for that character twice, which isn't very long. It's like 10, 12 minutes.
Yeah, it's not long at all. And like all the matches are one round.
And they barely put up. Actually, did you notice in survival, the AI seems kind of the same as in story mode, but occasionally they will be super good.
Yeah, it's super annoying. It's super annoying. It's like, okay, which AI am I getting this time?
That happened to me. I haven't beat normal yet because I got to level 25. And suddenly, like, that one was really strong. I was like, oh, man. And I lost a ton of health. And then when it came time to select supplements, I could only get, like, small amount of health back. I was like, okay, so I did that. And then the next one, it was still, like, a small amount. So I was getting small amount. And I got to 29. And then it was another, like, super AI one and destroyed me. I was like, oh
man.
What?
Yeah. Because when I got to 40, I was like, okay, this could go either really good or really bad. If I can just get 10 more matches of stupid AI opponents.
They should really call it endurance mode, because that's kind of what it is. You know, it's less about beating the computer. It's more about you not messing up. And occasionally, they will throw a wrench in there. It's like, oh, you didn't mess up for 10 rounds? Well, here's the awesome AI and see if you can beat it. And then it's like, suddenly it's like switched over. It's like, now it's about beating the AI. I wonder if they did it on purpose. It's kind of cool, but also, yeah, it can be very frustrating. That was the last one.
I guess when they're at the story mode or whatever, you'll probably be able to get fight money from that too. So at least there's that.
I imagine they will probably also add difficulty levels later on. It's weird that they're not in there. But
it is weird. It was very interesting seeing all the feedback on this game the first week of like not having these features in there. So I was like, on the one hand, I can see like why, it makes perfect sense of like why someone that's like a casual fan would be turned off by this game because there's like nothing to do outside of like the just versus modes to get good at the game, and so it's kind of like at a weird spot because like only if you're like super hardcore about it, would you really be, like, willing to play this game right now? And that's, like, kind of interesting. Like, that's basically, you know, the people that are, like, at the very top right now. It's just, because everybody else is, like, not, like, that type of person that would play this game. So it's, like, this very neat, group of people playing the game right now. So it's, like, I really want to see what happens, like, after Evo, if, like, there's, like, a ton of cool stuff that happens, or, like, these really awesome matches. And, like, all the casual people are like, oh, man, I want to play Street Fighter and see if I can get that good, which, at this point, I've given up. I've been watching some Wednesday night fights and just, like, streams in general and just, like, Twitch in general of, like, awesome pro-tier MLG people at this game. I'm like, yeah, I'm never going to be Daigo Umehara. I'm never going to be Ags Vahe. I'm never going to be, like, that good, but at least I can, like, be a decent player. So, yay, I guess. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see people, like, it's either you are in the competitive scene, or you have, because I remember a time when it was, like, you had a bunch of people around you, and you never played story mode. Like, you just go home and say, oh, Super Nintendo, let's play Street Fighter, and you just play Street Fighter. So, you know, that still exists. We'll see, I guess. I can kind of see why people are upset, but on the other hand, I also... how to phrase it? Yeah, it's a game as a service, basically. In the way that the future seems to be going. So, it doesn't feel like a ripoff, because it's like, well, stuff is coming down the line. I mean, if I was gonna die the day after Street Fighter came out, then, yeah, okay, it's probably a ripoff. But I'm not, as far as I know. And so, eventually, I will get all that stuff that I'm hoping for, and it'll be free.
Yeah, and yeah, that's the other thing is like all the way they've implemented all the DLC is like you can just get it for free.
Yeah.
So there's nothing to really complain about except for the time thing of like, well, I wouldn't know, but well, just save your fight money.
If you want it like, now, this is what it is. you have that choice.
So you only have yourself to blame for not grinding up that fight money, and then when the stuff's there, you won't be able to afford it. So, you know, just jump online, let Tekken beat you, and get his ranks up.
That'd be great.
And then get his trophies, and then, you know, your deed is done for the day.
Yeah, I guess as an aside, that's sort of related. So the Hitman beta is coming back for PlayStation Plus members, and people are still sort of complaining that Hitman is going to be episodic. So whether, you know, I guess they're being snarky to get their point across, but it's just every time you see something about Hitman, there's always the comments about when is the full game coming out? How come I can't get the full game? It's like, well, you can't get the full game. And yeah, like with this news they released, it's sort of the same situation with Destiny too. Like if you bought it year one, yes, you paid more, but you also played things that people can't play now. And with Hitman, they're doing like these elusive mode, like limited time hits. And I think those are just, you know, those are going to be ongoing. So if you don't get it on launch day, these types, like there will be hits that you will never get because they happened already. That's what they sort of talked about in the beginning with Hitman being a live game. So yeah, it's not as easy as saying, well, early adopters always get screwed because they pay more and they get the same thing. It's like, not quite true anymore. They actually sometimes get more stuff now. It's more tangible in the case of Hitman and less tangible in the case of Street Fighter. In the case of Street Fighter, yes, we get to grind fight money now and have tons of it, theoretically. Because, man, if I just play ranked matches, it will take me a long time. You only get 50, and it's only for wins. Is it 50? It's 50.
You
get 50
for
wins.
I don't know if it's 50. Hmm. I don't know.
I
didn't notice because I just looked at my number and I was like, oh, I'm in the 100,000, so it's whatever.
Well, I know you also get...
looking at it.
I know you also get rewarded for reaching certain player levels. I think... level am I?
I think I got like 1,000 at 20.
Yeah. I'm at 12, and I saw one of those messages pop up too. So maybe at 10. I got 1,000. Where was I going? Yeah, not so clear cut.
I also just like wanted to play before Evo happened, and then people like got all the, oh, this is how you, well, I mean, it's kind of already happening if you're like looking at videos online, but whatever. It's like people haven't like discovered all the bits and pieces of like how to make, or like be super awesome with all the characters yet. So it's like I can still get in ranked matches and get some wins. that's why I played all day too. So I was like, this is your time, Tekken. It's like the window is closing every day. The window is closing every day, Tekken. You're not gonna have the chance to do this again and like actually play against people that aren't like, oh, this is a top tier character, I'm just gonna play this character because they're the best balance. So before whenever update to buffer nerf things and change things. So get in on that one wagon while you can, while it lasts. Otherwise, a couple months later, you'll be kicking yourself and like, oh, I should have, why didn't I choose to get better with Cammy now before they did this to her, or whoever, whichever character. So it's like, yeah. Like, next week for sure I'm using a new character, and I'm like, Nicali, I was kind of thinking Nicali, but maybe Laura, maybe Rashid. Rashid probably, just because every time I play Rashid online, they kick the crap out of me. I'm like, man, super fast, and like, so many awesome moves, and super flashy, and I'm like, man, I kind of want to play this guy. So,
he is
yeah.
super fast.
And he has like the best music, so yeah.
That's really cool. Like the music is oftentimes, or at least in single player, it's the music of the person you're fighting against.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's not tied to the stages anymore.
All right, what else did I? Oh yeah, there man, stuff coming out in the first quarter. So I also played that came out Tuesday. I didn't play Far Cry this week. I picked it up. I didn't play it because I was like, well, I could play Far Cry or I could play Street Fighter. And, like, I just had the itch to play Street Fighter. So I was like, you know what? And the whole thing I just said about the window closing every day before it turns into a killer's row of, I can't play ranked matches anymore. Because I remember, like, at some point in Street Fighter 4, I just hit a wall. I was like, this is where I'm at. I'm not progressing. I'm not having fun. And I'm like, let me just play this before all the fun gets out of here. So, or all the fun leaves the balloon. But, Walking Dead Michonne,
Ooh.
It's very interesting because, yeah, it's like you... there's like not any exposition, really. It's just you... Well, there is exposition, but to me it didn't seem like there was enough exposition. But it's like interesting the way it's done because it's all... It's like the flashback sequence is like juxtaposed to the where you're at in the game, but it's like smushed together of like the same things happening at the same time. And it's like interesting. Like it's really cool, like the way that they do it, like visually. So it's like, you know, they've upped their storytelling game. Like it's neat. It doesn't like always work. So it's like, am I hallucinating? Am I a crazy person? Like, is she supposed to be, because I don't watch the comic, I mean, watch the show or read the comics, so I'm not familiar with this character, so I'm like, I have no idea what this person's, like, motivations or characteristics are, so it's like, it's kind of interesting, because there is, like, because it gives you, like, the dialogue options, so you can do, you know, whatever you want to do, but it's like, you can be, like, the silent stoic type, or the, there's, like, all, like, yeah, you can just, like, be... You still have like that freedom in a Telltale game to be like, how would you like to be this character? Just not say anything all the time, or do you want to be a jerk or try to do the good thing? And it's like, well, I guess I'll just try to do the good thing. And of course, it got me screwed again. So, yep. And it's very interesting the setup that they have going into this one, where it's I don't want to say what happens, but it's like something happens to where it's like in season one there was this thing with Kenny in the boat, and like. You can totally be like, aha, see, Kenny had the right thing going. So it's like, because there's stuff with, like, boats and on water and communities and whatnot. But that was neat the way that they did that. And I was like, that kind of ties in with the season one thing of, like, I can just be like, ha, see, Kenny was right the whole time. That's why he's my bro. And I stuck with him. And I was right. Yes. And we would have been solid if we got to the water. But that's not how it turned out. So whatever. But, we can see how it turned out for these people, because that's where they're at in episode one. And it's weird, because it's like a three-episode thingy, and then apparently, according to the description, it takes place between, like, a certain part in the comics, where, like, Michonne is there, and then she leaves, and then she comes back. So I want to see if, like, at the end, if it, like, shows, like, Rick and the gang, because that would be awesome.
Oh.
See, like, them in game form, and, like... If it, like, leaves it open to, like, maybe they're going to, like, do something where, like, you played this part that was in the comic or the show. Well, I guess it's in the comic because the show is based off the comic. So that would be cool if it, like, led into some sort of, like, Walking Dead. Like you played this part in the comic through... Or, like, if it kept going with Michonne and, like, you don't... Like, Rick is there, but, like, you don't get to play as Rick or however they do that, that would be cool. I just want to see, like, the setup of, like, how does this end and, like, lead into that, because that would be cool if they, like, set it up to where it's going to, like, keep going with, like, these... Like, you know, miniseries are, like, taken from the comic because that's the source material, and, like, they just adapt it into the game, which to me is, like, I love Telltale stuff, so it's, like, the best thing ever, so... Oh, that'd be delicious, just, like... Because I'm going to have to read the comic, it's like, oh, I can just play the game, so... But we'll see what happens, so... Got my hopes high, as you can hear. But that would be cool if they did that. And then, Well, I was going to say something I completely lost my train of thought, but... There are choices, and they're still... Yeah... Yeah, and stuff. Yeah, it's still pretty dark and bleak, and it's still The Walking Dead. So, but I thoroughly enjoyed it, and it's cool because like there's some parts with the QTEs where it's like you push more than one button in succession to like do these cool things with the machete. And it's like, oh, Michonne's pretty cool with her sweet machete moves. That's pretty cool, and it looks good. So yeah, it looks better than I haven't played Walking Dead season two, but it looks better than season one for sure. So I'm not sure if they're like using. Better assets, or because it's like better optimized for PS4 this time, but it definitely looks better, so that's nice. And oh, that's what it was, like the opening credits. It's like for Wolf Among Us is awesome, and then like Tales of the Borderlands is like super tastic, like the way they do the credits for each episode in that game and the beginning of each episode. And then this one has its like own thing of like there's some music and stuff. It's like, oh yeah, just Telltale up with their game across the board. So, and then Game of Thrones is just like the Game of Thrones. I imagine the show, because it's, like, the same theme and, like, credits, so... Up in the game! Telltale just, yep, just keeps on getting better. It's like, you think they're too spread too thin? You are wrong, because episode one is effing awesome, and I can't wait for episode two, so... Too bad it's only three episodes is all I have to say, because, man, after I played this one, I was like, dude, this is going to leave me jonesing for a while, but, hey, it's better than nothing. And it was good, so, yeah.
Do you think that their formula... is due for a refresh at some point?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Well, that's the thing. It's like in this one, like the QTEs that you do, they're not just like button prompts. Like some, like it's. I mean, it's weird because it's like because you're like this melee person, so it's like you have the sword, or not sword, but machete, but like you're, there's a bunch of like, sometimes it's up, down, left, right, sometimes it's face buttons, but it does seem like it's, I guess that in that, since it is kind of more like the Tales of Borderlands, because it's action, more action-y oriented, where opposed, but there still is like, you know, environmental stuff and like dialogue, but I think the framework is fine. I don't think they need to mess with anything. It's perfect the way it is, and does not need a fixing, so yeah.
Because, you know, with the way that we think Season 3 might go, I mean, the other way that they could go with Season 3 is sort of, I would kind of call it a cop-out, where just be like, something happens and then everyone, all players will end up back in a similar situation. And I'm wondering, that would be the easy way to go, and I'm just wondering, like, do they need to make it the super ambitious way that we envision?
Have it where, like, if I start here and the RPG and Tropical start there, we have completely different things happening in that first episode and second episode, and, like, even possibly the whole season, because that would be, like, finally, to me, anyway, just be, like, a big F you to the haters and, like, shut the F up, they know what they're doing, and it was effing awesome, wasn't it? Yeah, go for yourselves, F the haters.
So that would be, you know, from that point on, it would be three games that they're making at the same time and not just one. And I guess they've kind of proven that they can do that. But yeah, like, it would keep escalating, right? Like, once you get to season four, is it going to be three games or is it going to become nine games that they have to make?
Maybe they'll do we'll see. Maybe they'll just, like, have, like, main story tracks that you get, like, shepherded into. And then, like, once you make choices, that's, like, I don't know. That's season three. Man, it can't get here fast enough. Because then we can, like, actually see, okay, well, this is what happened to me. What happened to you? And then it's, like, what? I didn't even get to that part. Or that's not even in my entire episode. So there must be, like, two separate scenarios in this game. And there might even be more scenarios because there's so many endings in season two that's, like, at the end of, like, wait, you did what? You monster. Are you didn't go with her when she, or yeah, you can, like, yeah, did you put Clementine alone, Clementine safety, or Clementine with either crazy person A or B? So, yeah. How did yours end? Man. Ah, season three. Maybe that's why it's taking so long. Maybe that's what...
They are making three games.
Oh, man, maybe that's what it is. Like, it's taking so long because they are making a full scenario for, like, each separate epilogue, and it's going to be, like, a completely different scenario based on your beginning. But then I'm wondering, like, how will you be, like, if they do that, if, like, you start season three and you haven't played the first two, will it just, like, auto choose you or something, or do what they always do and just, like, oh, well, we're going to randomly choose your choices?
Yeah, I guess so.
Which is, like, completely ruining the experience, but I guess if you're just a casual fan, you wouldn't care about that, so. Or maybe some sort of, oh yeah, they could do some sort of, like, Witcher thing where it's, like, they just have Clementine sit down. Or she's, like, writing a diary or something of, like, oh, that one time.
She recounts what happened to her.
Yeah. She's, like, reliving her PTSD moments of, like, in her diary.
Oh, my gosh. I thought of a really easy cop-out way. It just starts, and it's, like, years later.
It better not be a cop-out, Travis. Yeah. That would be terrible.
Yeah. They probably thought that, too.
What else did I play? I know I played some other stuff, because I put some other stuff in that folder. So
well, we had another game that we played.
Oh, yeah, the Division Beta.
Division Beta, which...
I completely
forgot. Yeah, people streamed it. I think we're allowed to talk about it.
I streamed it, yeah.
What did you think?
I thought it was good.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I guess it is kind of like Destiny, but it's hard to say...
I think it's more of an apples and oranges situation. It's very similar, but it's not one-to-one the same
way.
Because, like, playing it, it's like, okay, I can see the bits and pieces. It's also kind of cool, because it's like, you can see, like, where, like, things, like, if this was like this in Destiny, it might be a bit better, because it's like, there's, like, entire quest lines in Division where it's, like, based off, like, the skills that you want to have on your character. So it's like, if you want to get your tech skills, do the tech missions. If you want to be the healer person, do the healer missions. If you want to be the assault class, go play in the Dark Zone. Have fun.
Which, I mean, like, Destiny is kind of like that, too. Well, at least in the latest version, because there's this... But then it's not, because there's so little content that you end up getting everything. It's like, well, I have Defender, and I have Striker, and I have Burning Hammer Guy. So, Yeah, like, it's hard to tell if the Division will run into the issue that Destiny has, which is a progression of your character becomes very frustrating at some point.
I don't think it will, because it seems like when the part that you start off in the beta, which is, like, completely out of context, but it's, like, obviously some story mission after you start the game, it seems like there's just, you go through the world, and then you build these HQs, and that is, like, the story beats of, like, how you get your forces, I guess, better defending the city that is, like, whatever's left over after the virus hits.
Yeah, that part is really awesome. I like that part a lot. When you finally get to where you're headed, and you have to go out and find these specialists to build your base. It's like, oh, that's awesome. I totally want to build this base. And just...
Yeah, there's a little bar of, like, your percentage. And
yeah.
Like, all the things that you... are like, the benefits that you get from having it built. It's, like, so good. It's like, man.
It's kind of like... I guess, in a way, it's sort of like the base-building stuff from Assassin's Creed, but it feels more meaningful. And then, also, the way you build your character feels more meaningful as well. Especially like how you can just help random people on the street.
Oh yeah, that was cool. Like when you have like inventory stuff that's like completely useless, but then you like stumble across the NPCs that are like, oh, help me, or, and you can like give them food or medicine or something that you've like scavenged off of something that you don't need, but they need it, and it's like you get experience from it. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, and they give you clothes, and then you can like customize your character's look.
You get like custom gear or equipment. That's like this little hat that I got.
It was really fun. Like, I remember when the 360 came out, I played a ton of the Ghost Recon games at that time. What was that one called?
There's Future Soldier, that one?
Nope. It must have been Advanced Warfighter then.
That's it. I'm tripping.
Yeah, is Advanced Warfighter? Yeah, that's
Advanced
right.
Advanced Warfare or Warfighter. Wait, no, Warfare is the Call of Duty.
Yeah.
There's too many.
It's one of those. Like, I remember the abbreviated GRAW.
Yeah.
Yeah, GRAW, like, I played that a ton, because I guess I really liked Tom Clancy games, or these sort of third-person shooter type Tom Clancy games, because the way they feel is like, oh, it feels really good, and, yeah, I don't know what it is. And so when I played this, like, wow, this is like, this is basically an RPG, except instead of sort of your turn-based or active time battles or whatever, you're doing third-person shooter-type battles. And you can party up with people that are just walking around. I'm like, that's really cool. Makes me sad that I'm not going to buy it initially. Yeah, I basically played it. I was like, wow, that was really awesome. And did you play with a headset on?
Yeah, I did.
Oh. If you're not using a headset, well, so I got like a cool surround system now, and then so it was neat having the sounds all around me, but also the controller speaker, like,
oh yeah, that was cool.
The computer guy like talks to you.
it was weird because like at one point I was charging my headset or something, so I didn't have it on, and then like my controller did that, and I completely forgot it could do that, and it almost freaked me out as like. Enemies ahead. I was like, whoa. The last time
hostile forces are approaching. I was like, oh, yeah. Who chose this voice for the AI? And this is so awesome. Yeah, I was enjoying it a lot. And then I was like, oh, but I have so many. Like, I have Future Soldier unopened. I have not finished whatever that last Splinter Cell game was. I sat there and was like, all right, here's the plan. I'm going to beat all of my Tom Clancy games, and then I can get the Division. And hopefully that will drive me to actually beat them. Because the Division, so far, is like, this seems really cool. I really like the setup. Well, that was not a question, because we'd seen it already, but how it plays, the progression is like, oh, these things sound very, very exciting to me.
Yeah, I really like, it was basically an all good things beta. Like, I don't think I played it and, like, there's anything bad about it. I was just, I had, like, trying to call because I had the same thing. I was like, well, I'll buy it when it's $20 because it's Ubisoft, so you know it's going to go down in price. Like Activision, or, I mean, sorry, like every Assassin's Creed game does. So it's like, you know, 12 months from now, maybe I'll be playing it.
By the holidays.
By the holidays. But then I'm like, Mass Effect, it doesn't get delayed. So, something to look forward to eventually. And it's got a season pass, so I can't buy season pass games anymore, so, you know. Mm-hmm. at some point I will be playing through this game, and I'll be enjoying it. Maybe alone, but luckily I played through most of the beta solo, so it's actually enjoyable solo, so yeah.
Yep, I did that too.
I guess that was like one of the nice things they probably had over Destiny, is like you don't have to be teamed up with a full fire team.
For anything.
Yeah, for anything really. You just go it alone.
Did you go into the Darkness Zone? Did you play that?
I did, by accident, because J-Von was online, and then I was like on the map it shows like where your friends are at, and I was like, oh, let me see what he's doing, and like I just jumped into his game, and it's like taking you to Bleakfireflower, and I was like, and then like I spawned in, and I was like, you're in the Darkness Zone. I was like, whoa, and it was like, I felt like I got taken there, I was like, and then like, yeah, I was like trying to get out, I was like, I didn't know where I was like super lost, because since I hadn't played the game before. And I ended up getting murdered by two people, and I was like, yep, I'm getting out of here. So that happened. I got murdered in the Darkness Zone. I was like, yeah, if I ever play this game, I'm never going into the Darkness Zone. So no thanks. No thanks.
Funny. I didn't go. I got killed a few times in the second, or the subway morgue part, because I underestimated how much damage fire will do to you. I was like, well, I guess I'm not going to go to the Darkness Zone, because I understand these cleaner types are, they are a player in this city, and they are not to be messed around with. Or, did you try to stealth in that part?
I didn't try to stealth at any part, Tropical.
Okay.
I had a silencer on my gun, which was interesting, because like the stat on it was like enemy awareness towards you was like decreased by like 2% or something, so yep. I was like, maybe eventually you could get like a build on your character to where you're just like stealthing around and like stabbing people or something. That'd be cool.
Well, it was weird because
you're playing Splinter Cell in the Division.
Because you get to that part and the lady on the line is like, oh, so, you know, there's cleaners everywhere. Avoid them if possible. And I was like, okay. And I actually stealthed into the area. But then you get to a point where it's just like, it's those monster closet rooms where,
yeah,
you don't kill everyone, you can't go anywhere. It's like, well, what was she telling me to do then? Yeah, I got the silencer. I was using silenced pistol. It's fun.
It's so good. And then, like, looking at all these skills, it was, like, something about, like, I guess eventually there's just enemies that can, like, you have that thing where you can, like, send out a sonar that detects stuff, which is cool, but yep. I guess apparently, like, eventually there's enemies that can do that to you, because there's, like, something that, like, one of the skills or perks is, like, enemies cannot detect you or something, or their detection for you is decreased or something weird, so I don't know how it works, but it seems interesting, so, yeah.
Yeah, like, the gear thing, I think, is going to be better than Destiny, because it feels like they've left themselves more room to give you stuff, like, every time you pick something up. There's a bigger chance that it's going to be better stuff because they just have way more variables that they can change to make the gear desirable in some way or another. Destiny was just like, oh, we got these class of weapons, and light level is one stat. And I guess they had the perks, but they didn't really feel different.
And then there's, like, a crafting bench in your HQ, but it's, like, not available in beta. It's like, I want to play around with this. This seems like it could be cool. Guess we'll find out.
Eventually. Makes me sad. I guess I'll finish off the things I've been playing then. The last one was something. I gotta remember what I told Tekken I played. I don't know if this is in the finished column or the disputed column, but I finished Amplitude. The credits rolled. But is there a good ending?
I don't know, Trevor.
Do I have to get a good
ending? I can't play on higher difficulty, or like I can't play on the ridiculously insanely higher difficulty, so.
Well, I think all you have to do is unlock all of the songs and then play to the end of the campaign. But I'm not sure about that. Because, you know, there's some songs that you unlock by achieving certain bar ratings in the campaign.
I think I got all the songs, because I think I got the trophy for it, so.
Okay. Well, there is definitely more to play, but I finished the campaign and the credits rolled. So, does that count?
Yeah, it counts.
Okay, yay!
That's how I counted it for me.
Ooh. I'm going to play more of it to get all the songs unlocked, but, yes! Two! Basketball and Amplitude. It's weird. Like, what do people call it? Flow state?
Yeah.
There were times when I was still very conscious. But the thing I was conscious about was my hands were hitting the right notes before my mind realized what they were. So I'm sitting there like trying to interpret, wait, what just flew past? But my streak didn't break. Like, consciously, I didn't even see it. My hands just did it. that was very weird. It was a strange experience. But yeah, I think intermediate is perhaps my limit. These games are hard. I don't know how people do it.
Yeah, once I started trying some of them on the higher difficulties, I was like, yeah, there's no way. Crazy. I don't know how people do them.
But maybe my hands seem to be better than my brain. So that's cool. And then after that, I got invited to the closed alpha for Smite on PS4, which is a MOBA, but an action-based MOBA. And yeah, it's been out actually for a year. Yeah, it's different. So, the thing that playing Smite made me realize was that I can't wait to play Paragon from Epic Games. Because I've been reading about Paragon, and one of the things that they talk about is, basically Paragon is very true to the MOBA roots. They basically have all the elements of League of Legends, except, the one thing that they changed was the camera. So instead of this top-down look, it's a third-person, over-the-shoulder type camera. And so that presents one problem in particular is that when you have a top-down camera, you can see the whole map at any time just by scrolling over to it. But if you have a behind-the-shoulder camera, that's not necessarily the case. And so the map that they designed is sort of a bowl shape, and you can see all the other lanes because they have different elevations.
Yeah, that's what I heard about too.
Yeah, and the forest is hidden because there's a canopy and it's lower. And I was like, oh, that's pretty clever. Smite, they just, as far as I can tell, at least from what I've played, it just has the one lane, and that's how they solved that. It's there's only one lane, so you don't have to worry about there being three lanes that you can't see the other two of. There's just the one lane in the middle, and then the rest is jungle. And there are signs in the jungle that tell you where the neutral camps are. It's this one gives you more damage if you go kill those guys. This one gives you faster attack speed. That one over there gives you more mana. It's then just go. And so that mode was not as interesting to me in Smite. A mode that I didn't really like in League of Legends, but I think is super fun in Smite, is arena mode, which is, again, I guess it's basically just one lane, except it's all open, so you can see everybody, and it's 5-on-5, whereas the traditional-ish mode is only 3-on-3. And yeah, so that makes it really fun, because it's just team fighting the whole time, and you're just trying to take out their minions if you have a chance. And they're pretty weak, so that's pretty easy. And you're just trying to whittle down the other team's tickets to zero, and then you win. Characters, I think, are really cool. They're all gods from different pantheons. So you have Greek, Roman, Egyptian, Chinese, Hindu, Mayan gods. They just added Amaterasu from Japanese mythology. And it's this is really cool. And they look really cool, and attacks seem themed and all that, but it feels like the feedback though isn't that good. So when you're actually hitting enemies and stuff, it doesn't feel like you're doing much damage to them, which is strange. It's a strange feeling for an action game where it's oh, I'm doing all this action-y stuff, but it's just sort of dice roll stuff happening. All you determine is the, I guess you level up and your damage goes up, and you determine the aim. It feels like your attacks they don't have any impact, which is something I hear Paragon does differently. Apparently Paragon doesn't sacrifice the feel of an action game while also making it a MOBA. So I was like,
I was thinking about that. I can't remember when this thought that popped in my head, because you're always talking about MOBAs, and I think, I remember what it was. I was watching some news video. Yeah, because all the game media I read is no longer existent. So it's I was on YouTube watching some weekly news video from some some channel, and they're talking about Paragon, and I was like, maybe. I think we talked about this like a while ago. I was like, whatever. We talked about something, and then like just popped in my head of like shooters, blah blah blah. But then I was like, well, it's Epic, so maybe like I think we talked about like where MOBAs are going or something, and we were talking like had this discussion about MOBAs. But like I was like, okay, well, there's all these Western developers that like do shooters and crap, so Epic's doing shooters and crap, but then they're doing a MOBA that's like a shooter, but it's third person, whatever. And then you have like Battleborn or whatever Gearbox is working on. So I was like, maybe we're at like this like paradigm shift moment in MOBAs where it's like you have these AAA developers that are gonna like try to get in here and like get all this user base that's like that like see all the money and they're like, ooh, and they like I guess they also play what's popular, so like maybe some of them actually like MOBAs, whatever. So so it's like I could see like where you would have maybe like there's like some MOBAs that are gonna come out that's like they're very shooter intensive or heavy, or just like they look like a shooter but they play like a MOBA, or just they have like a lot of shooter elements or mechanics in them but they're like straight, they're like still a MOBA, or you're gonna like see modes in other shooters and stuff pop up that's like, oh, it's like just a mode now of like you have tower assault or whatever they're gonna call it. guard the towers, or they're like a MOBA mode in a game, because like I mean I could see that in Destiny where it's like 5-on-5 and like you can only have like one of each class type, like you can't have more than one type of a class, like only like one Voidwalker, only one Nightstalker, blah blah blah, just to keep it balanced. Of like, isn't that like the case in MOBAs? Like you can only have like one hero per team, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, like they're like they do something like that, and then like with the way like Call of Duty just did the whole thing of like heroes, it's like, you know, well they probably don't call it heroes, build like loadouts, whatever that, where it's basically the MOBA
but
property,
they call it
of
specialists.
Specialists. It's like you have like a certain loadout on this character, and that's how they play, and this is their properties, and it's like you have, as opposed to like the way it used to be before that, of like pick your perks and your guns, there you go.
Yep.
It's all locked down to the characters now, and then I guess maybe you could see Evolved as like the beginning of that, because that was basically just a 4v1 or 5v1 FPS game that was like, I guess it wasn't really a MOBA because it was just 5v1, so whatever, co-op / PvP, whatever, but yeah. So that's what I see happening, is like maybe just a bunch of, well, maybe like not a bunch of games like Paragon, but like maybe Paragon's like the beginning of that, and this, like, we'll see where it goes from there. When Smite 2, because it's third person, so yeah.
Yeah. It would be really cool. Yeah, so far, that, what I said at the beginning was like, Smite just makes me want to play Paragon. Yeah, there's some room for improvement. Like, if you're going to make my character a guy with a big sword on the end of a long stick and I hit someone, I want to feel like I'm hitting them and not just have to rely on the little numbers that pop out of like, well, it didn't seem to really affect him, so it's like I'm just gonna keep swinging away until they die. It's like, that doesn't feel very good. But yeah, I was after Smite, so I've played like a ton of Heroes of the Storm, and after playing Smite, after playing The Division, actually I start thinking, like, there is, you know, people sometimes forget, or maybe just aren't aware, that actually there is tons of room for innovation in every single genre. Like, you think all the innovation is gone, but no. You know, Smite kind of, yeah, it changes the camera angle and sort of makes it an action game, but you could make it a full action game, which I think is, like, what Paragon is going to be. And then I was thinking, like, you know what, if the essence of MOBAs is just, like, pushing these lanes. Beyond that, you can make the game anything. It could be a card game, you know? Like, people could... It could be, like, a Yu-Gi-Oh! MOBA, where, like, players run up the lanes, and then when they run into another player, they play a Yu-Gi-Oh! match. And it's like, oh, I lost, and then... So that guy dies, and then the other guy gets to push forward and bring his minions or whatever.
I think when...
Yeah.
Okay, oh, I was gonna say, like, the thing I remember you talking about, like, one time was, like, how all the like, Dota and League of Legends ripoffs are basically very similar to those games or something.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, the same camera angle of isometric, or...
Pretty much. It's just, guide like, view. Most of them are exactly the same. Or, not exactly, but very similar. They have the store, which is a very complicated part, where it's, like, every time you go back to base, you can buy equipment that... I guess it's like a holdover for RPGs. It's like, you can buy equipment. So in addition to leveling up, you also buy equipment. and then there's the teleporting back to base gives you more health, and then it's just like, yeah, you push minions down. Some of them emphasize it more. Like, Heroes doesn't really emphasize the minions quite as much. That's why they have more than one map. I think League of Legends, for the most part, is just played on one map. Paragon, I think, just has the one map. Heroes of the Storm, every map is different, so they changed it up. It's like, okay, it's not just about pushing and sort of waiting for the right moment to strike and, like, knock down these towers. It's also about going for objectives, and those can really turn the tide of battle. And then, these are, like, the kind of action ones. I don't know what... I'm finding it very hard to find information on Battleborn. It's like, is it a MOBA? Some people are saying it's actually not a MOBA. It's like, is
Maybe there's just
MOBA?
A MOBA mode in there somewhere.
But
the thing is, like the way that they have, like, you know, a badass for every character, it's like, so they're not heroes, or whatever we're calling them now, specialists, air quotes, whatever hero slash whatever you're going to call the thing in your game that you play as that's not a hero.
But yeah, just like the Division is, it feels to me like a lot like an RPG, except that it's a shooter. For all the combat.
I forgot to talk about that part, but it's like so weird, like when you start the beta and it like shows that video of like, this is what the game is. I was just like super weirded out by that, of like, I didn't know to feel insulted or glad that they put it in there for people that didn't know what they're doing. Cause it's like, but this is a beta, so clearly anybody that like has any interest in this game is playing it, so I don't know. Is this gonna be in the full version? Cause that was kind of weird. I was like, whatever, so. Oh man.
Come on, people. You can make literally anything. This is a digital world that does not exist until you make it. You can make literally anything, so you don't have to stick to... There are no rules. You can do whatever. And yes, I hope that people do that. That being whatever. So yeah, Smite, it seemed pretty fun. I'll probably play it some more. I like the characters. It's like, that's pretty cool, but the gameplay it doesn't feel good. You know, the game can be exciting, but yeah, like the core, you know, Destiny feels good to play. Just the shooting feels really good. It's like the fighting in Smite does not feel good. Heroes of the Storm, like, you feel really powerful, even though you're just clicking mouse buttons and pushing keys on the keyboard. So clearly there is something you can do with the feedback. And Smite, like, I think it needs to figure out what that is in order to make Smite really awesome. So I streamed a bunch of that, streamed Street Fighter, played Amplitude. I think that's it. That's all I've been playing. Two on the board! Woohoo!
Should I play anything else? I think I might have played something else. Let me check real quick. Okay, so I did play something else, but it's just going to be a quick hit here. But, because after I finished Remember Me, I started the next game in my Black History Month stream, which was Resident Evil 5, revisiting it, haven't played it in a while, still holds up, still a good game. I remember there being a lot of backlash about this game, whatever, it's like the closest, it's basically the moment, I mean, people say RE4 is like when it jumped the shark from being like all action, but at least it was like, there's like more horror and like scariness and atmosphere in that game than in this one, because it's all about shooty, Majini, and Ouroboros and Wesker. Man, that was playing it again, man, it's like I you get to those like story beats and you completely forgot. It's like, you know, Chris is like in the mission and he sees Jill's got like he like, it's like he was on that part when Jill like goes missing and he's like, Jill, and then it's like the whole thing, it's like, oh man, that's so good, like, yeah, so good. And then man, so many good parts in that game. It's like action sequences when stuff pops out of nowhere and it's like, oh man, or just the weird, I think it's like the other thing with like Resident Evil or some other Japanese games is like when like you see like the quality in their like their bosses go down and like the design of them, and it's like this one, it's all about the batter pillar, like that's when you know whoever was working on Resident Evil, they kind of ran out of ideas, and it's like they're just throwing stuff at the board, not really, but kind of, like they're like half out of the, their ammo is halfway empty in the gun they're shooting. It's just like, batter pillar? Sure, whatever. And shows up in the game. So, yeah, whatever. And then the other game I've been playing, I've not finished yet, but the day stream game now for the Black History Month stream is Mercenaries 2, where you get shot in the butt and you're out for revenge for the person that did that to you. So, yeah.
Is it supposed to be a comedic plot?
Replaying it, I think it is, because I think, yeah, replaying it, man, that some PS3 games don't age well, and this one has not aged well. It's like, yeah, no Borderlands, I'll tell you that, so.
Now, Mercenaries 1 was on PS2, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure if this was before Saboteur or after, because it's like one of Pandemic's last games. When I saw the logo, I was kind of sad.
Yeah.
I was like, man, Pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that's a nice, light open world, blow stuff up game that I haven't played in a while, so I'm enjoying it. And that's all I've been playing.
Cool. Well, we usually do this at the end, and then it struck me that maybe people don't stay till the end. So we have a new aimlesspodcast.com, so you should definitely go there to check out the podcast and follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and most importantly, YouTube and aimlesspodcast.com. That's where you can find us most easily. And I think they're updated the most, too. So there's that. Middle segment today, RPG is not here, but he actually can totally relate to this now because he, too, has a backlog. What do you think, Tekken? Should we... You are the inventor, as far as I can tell, of Backlog Beatdown on YouTube. You made it up.
Yes.
Should we help the people out there also beat down their backlogs?
I think only they can help themselves, Shop Nicole. I'm not sure what you mean by that.
We can give them tips is the thing. We can talk about backlog and give them tips and stuff like that.
Sure.
Didn't
we do this a couple weeks ago?
Did we do this a couple weeks ago?
I think we did.
We talked about
because I'm thinking about ideas from, like, didn't I?
Moratoriums. And how did the one game a month thing.
Okay, because I was like thinking about it, I was like, didn't I say something about one game at a time a while ago? Because I was talking about Fight Club. And she's like, there's more than one rule? And I was like, yeah, there's more than one rule. Have you seen Fight Club?
I've actually been researching, backlog type related subjects. And I think it's interesting. And I think we can actually do a whole bunch of middle segments on backlog over time. And hopefully help some people actually get through their backlogs. Today, as the first one, I think we can start off. Well, if you've listened to the podcast a long time, it's probably obvious why Tekken and I have backlogs. But in case you don't know, I have no control. I guess it's the thing. and the Zeitgeist thing, which came brought up.
I have no self-control.
Yes.
Admission is the first step, Dr. Cole. Admission is the first step. Your wife might be proud.
Like, you want to know the latest games. Like, when you're in that hype ray, when I'm in the hype ray, it's like, yes, I want that. Day one, let's do it. And oftentimes, day one, I do it, and then 9 months later, it's like, I haven't opened that one yet. Or in the case of, like, Future Soldier, what's that, 2 years? That's a PS3 game.
Long
4 years? A long time.
Years pass, you have a daughter, she's grown up. Still haven't played it.
Oh, wait, it can't be 4 years. Wait, did I buy it before she was born? Maybe. I'll have to look it up. No, actually, I didn't get that one at launch. It was a few months after launch. Anyway. Yeah, like Tekken, when was it that you realized that you had a backlog?
Definitely Steam sales, because it's just like they would keep happening, I'd keep buying them, and it's like it would happen the next year, and it's like, games on sale, oh, that's an awesome deal, you already own this game. Or like, you see all these games that are like on sale that you've already bought, and it's like, I still haven't played it. It's been a year later. It's like, after that happens a couple of times, it's like, I should probably do something about this. Or maybe I have a problem.
So for you, is it, you think it's mostly digital games that has caused it? Like, how is your physical backlog?
Not really, because back in the day, it's such a long story. Because like PS2 era, when there's just so many games, it was like, I finally got like a job for the first time and I was able to buy games and stuff. And like, the like greatest hits games are like $20. So it's like, you know, you could just go out and buy stuff, like, you know, the, like, you know, GameStop, and they're like terrible policies of like cheap games. buy two, get one free, like, those roll around, and you just, like, get a ton, and, like, you could just, like, stack discounts and just, like, save so much money, and it was just great, and, like, there are so many games, and then, like, by the time you knew it, you'd spent a relatively small amount of money, and, like, ended up with a ton of, like, you could have bought, like, maybe two games, and you'd end up with, like, 10 to 20. Like, with the amount that you could buy, like, two new games on, like, buying used games from GameStop, and just so many PS2 games are, like, just, like, so, like, the vast variety that it had on that library of just, like, stuff that, like, oh, man, I want to check this out, that was cool. I've heard good things about this, and, like, pre-now internet, when, like, you can just go in depth of to see, like, video reviews of something, or just, like, whispers on message boards of, oh, dude, this game's blah, 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 or if you like this, check this out, blah, 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 or, oh, man, this is the new hotness, blah, 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 whispers on the internet, just people saying good things about stuff before the now era of let's tear everything down and it's all terrible. Back when we used to be enthusiasts and root for games and be happy about them, yes, the olden times, in the happy time before the darkness showed up.
Back in the day? Those times.
But then the toll of, like, having so many physical games is, like, they take up so much space, which is why I had to, like, put them in the CD sleeves and be like, you know what, when you have this much crap lying around, maybe I should just go digital. So I went all digital, and then every time I see a deal, it's like, get it, or, like, follow Joji Gundam's wise words of, if it's under $20, it's a deal, and you can't really turn it down. And it's pretty true, because, like, $20 for a game is a pretty good deal, so, until I finally had to save up for a PS4, and it's like, this is a problem. How do I do this? Well, if I don't buy any games, or then, like, when I was trying to, like, just get on a schedule of trying to finish games and, like, not add to the pile, just buy one game a month, which is how that came to be, of, like, this this endless tower of games that just keeps growing. There's got to be something I can do. So it's like, to alleviate this, if I just buy one a month, that should help, right? Right? Yeah.
So, was there a moment? Like, I remember, I think this was 3 years ago, my wife was on a forum, and she was doing, like, she had seen this topic that someone was posting. It's like, oh, it's your game collection or something. And she came up with this idea. It's like, oh, I want to take a picture of you, like, just stack all of your games on top of each other and then take a picture of it. And I think I only ended up stacking the games I hadn't played through or opened. And it was, like, 7 feet tall.
Actually, there was a moment, actually, on the internet when someone on YouTube, like, sent me one of their videos. And, like, their channel's called, like, The Last Gamer Tube or something. And, like, I thought I had, like, a, like, you know, I didn't really care about it. It's just, like, a superficial thing of, like, yeah, I have an awesome game collection. But then, like, you see this person's video, and it's just, like, this entire house of just, like, arcade machines and, like, racks of games. And it's just, like, it made my, like, thing look, like, so infinitesimally, like, non-existent. I was just, like, I can never top that. And it's just, like, after having that epiphany, I was, like, this is kind of silly, Tekken. We should probably, like, step it down a notch here and do something about this. This is ridiculous. Or then, like, whenever I'm, like, trying to, like, arrange them or, like, organize them or look for them because it's like, oh, I need to find this game and before I put them in CD sleeves. And then, like, that one time when I found, like, I already had a copy of a game that I bought or something that was, like, on PSP or PS2. And I was like, oh, I already have this game and I bought it twice. What do you know? It's just, it's like, once you get to that level of ridiculousness of, like, this needs to end. I need to save myself. And you're like, yeah.
Yeah, needs to be done. The forgetting that you bought games, I've had a lot of that. It's like, oh, I do own those. Like, well, that's bad. Especially, so did it feel like once you went digital, did it accelerate? Do you know all of the games you have digitally?
It didn't accelerate. It just makes it more convenient. It's one of those, like, out of sight, out of mind things. But I would definitely say it didn't, like, hurt. It didn't hurt it to where I just kept buying them, like, just to be like, oh, well. I think that's the other thing, is, like, when you own it digitally, like, usually the stores have systems in place where you can't buy something more than once, or if you see something that's on its own, like, you click on it, it'll say, you already own this, so it's like, but then, you know, like, when that happens, like, so often, it's like, you start to get to this point of, like, I have all these games I haven't played. I should probably play some of these at some point.
Well, that's the thing, like, you know, PSN is doing a lot of sales these days now, and occasionally I'll look at the list, not recently, because now I feel like I'm poor. But before, I would look at the list and was like, ooh, that's a good deal. I think I'll go get that one. And I'll go on and be like, oh, it says purchased. Like, So I did buy it at some point. Yeah. So did you download everything on your PS3 again?
Not everything. I got it to a point where it's just like download. I didn't want to like fill up the entire hard drive, 'cause I was like, that's kind of silly. Let me just. Or it's also like bandwidth is an issue, so it's like I can't just download them all. So it's like I'm just gonna like download it, play it, delete it. That's kind of what I've been doing with my PS4 too. Is like, well, let's just do this, and then we'll buy them as they're cheap. And then when I get the time, I'll download it, play it, delete it, and then that's what I did with Remember Me. I almost did it with Life is Strange. I'm not sure if I'm gonna go back. So I'm like. I kind of, like, it's on my hard drive, and I'm like, every time I see it, I'm like, I'm never going to go back, just delete it, Tekken. But I'm like, I don't need the space, so I can just keep it on there, and think of all the happy times I had with that game. Which is why I tweeted out the thing about Destiny. I was like, every time I see that game, in the menus, I just, like, want to delete it and, like, cleanse it forever from my PS4, so I never see when I'm scrolling through menus, because it just makes me think of all the wasted time and not happy fun times. Ugh, what a waste.
Well, that's a bit about where backlog comes from. So, halftime, and then second backlog beatdown topic. I saw an article talking about one person who cleared their Steam backlog, and the way that they did it was that they basically decided to change the definition of completed. So instead of playing through all the games, he played only the ones that he really wanted to. And then beyond that, only an hour of the ones that he wasn't sure about. And if he liked that hour, then he continued. And if he didn't like the hour, then he just said, I have finished this game. It has been cleared from my backlog. What do you think about that?
I mean, I wouldn't do that, because it would just bug me if I play a game and I don't get to the end of it. Cause like, I've started Final Fantasy VIII many times. And then the last time I did it, I got to the final dungeon, the final boss, and I couldn't finish it. And it just, like, it eats away at me, because I've heard people talk about it. I was like, oh, it has an amazing ending. Like, especially if that's the case, if it's like the game has, like, is like an ending that, like, you've heard good things about it. Like, people are just, like, praise things in it, and it's like, you haven't got to that part yet. It's just, like, it eats away at me. I'm like, oh, I got to see it, because, like, gamers are always, like, gushing over Indigo Prophecy, and I haven't played it. And then it's like, or like games, like, yeah, it's in my brain. It's not like really burned into my brain, but just I think of all these things that I've heard of, like praises of these games, and like none of them have ever had like people, you know, defect and just start trashing on it to be like, actually, this game's not so great. It's like they kind of hold out hope over time, like any other good thing, like a book or a movie. So it's like it's just like the word of mouth just kind of like stacks and like grows, and then like makes me want to play even more, and like makes me even more upset when I'm like, man, I need to play this game. And like, Remember Me, and like I knew it was good, I knew people liked it, and I finally got to play it. I was like, oh, why did I play this sooner? It's like stuff like that. Like when that happens, it just further reinforces like, man, I need to play some of these games. It's just I don't know like what hidden treasures I have that I haven't played, and it's just like, ugh. Or maybe I do, and it's just I haven't played them because like everybody's like, man. Or then, like, in the case of Assassin's Creed 3, it's like, I know it's probably going to be terrible, but I got to see how it is. I got to see how it is.
So, you own Assassin's Creed 3.
Yes.
And when did you get it? Was it at launch, or?
It was around the launch, because it was with the PS3 that I got.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right.
The first one that I traded in for my PS4.
See, I guess this sort of method, I think it shows that people have backlogs for different reasons. I think you and I have similar reasons, like, at least in recent times, we bought a lot of games that were cheap. Like, digital sales, like, there are tons of digital sales now, and you buy them because they're cheap, and, like, if it's a game you're totally not interested in, even if it's cheap, do you buy those?
Not anymore. It was funny because, during the flash... No, like, and I mean, like, in the past I did, but not recently, because during the last flash sale on PSN, there was some game like Orby the Robot or something that was like $3, and then I like watched the video for it in the store. I was like, yeah, there's a reason this game's $3, and I didn't buy it. But that said, I think I did pick up Blue Estate, which was cheap, but it's just an on-rail shooter, and I was like, well, it's worth checking out, so. I mean, that's the thing though. It's like when the game gets like a certain point, it's like, dude, it's like $5. It's like I start time like thinking to myself, like, dude, it's like only $5. It's like only $5. It's like it gets so low that it's like it's so like not an issue. It's like a non-issue of like how much it is. It's like, dude, you get this game. It's like $3. Like, come on. Unless like that Orby the Robot game, like you look at the video and it's like not worth it. $3. Because I think I picked up Blue Estate. Oh, I don't know what I picked up in the last flash sale, but yeah, definitely flash sales on TSN that's like getting me currently, because it's like they'll be so cheap, and I'm like, on the one hand, I don't need any more games for sure, but on the other hand, it's like, dude, $5. So I picked up like the, I'll look it up now, but I picked, there's some game about like surviving in the wilderness that was like $3 or $5 or something.
How to survive?
That.
Yeah.
I think there are two games like that.
I got that one too.
I just talked myself into buying it. I was like, whoa, it's cheap. It's open. Like, I tried looking at all the features, and I was like, it doesn't look that bad. I was like, mm. It's like, you know, don't. It's like, yep. Thanks, Deacon. Thanks for your money. Thanks,
yeah, I guess we're different than the person who cleared their backlog, Steam backlog, because it feels like, you know, there are people who are totally okay with letting stuff go because they bought them and they have learned that that was the mistake. I not bought them. Whereas we are like, I totally want to play these games. It's just that, and perhaps it was a mistake to buy it at that time, but I will totally play these games.
Yeah, it's like, I don't have time now, but I'll have time later, right?
But like, we have the desire to play all the games that we have, and to
it's like, I never pick up a game with not thinking I'm not going to play it. That never happens.
One of the things that this person said got him was Humble Bundle. So back in the day, it was like Humble Bundle was once every few months, and it was like, oh, you pay whatever the heck you want, and you get 10 games. And so I think this happened to a lot of people. They'd look at it and like, there is one game in that Humble Bundle that I want. It usually costs $20 by itself. I can pay $1 here and then get the game I want and these 9 other games that I've never heard of. And yeah, like, this person looked at it and like, so he basically ended up with tons of games that he had never heard of and had no interest in playing, apparently.
I would call that doing it wrong, Trap Nicole. Just saying.
Buy
them
wrong.
Saying. That's like picking up a lot on eBay of like, well, there's that one game I like with like Arby's Adventure and other games that I have no interest in playing or would rather break the disc of than play. So, yeah.
And I'm on the other part of the spectrum where I would do that and then actually be interested in playing the games I've never heard of. Like, I bought it. Remember my PS2 adventure? People remember
Jaws
that?
Jaws Unleashed.
I have a bunch of Bratz games, too. Those are those little dolls. Anyway. One of them, it was kind of interesting. But, you know, another topic for another time. Yeah, so I guess we'll wrap up our backlog discussion there. This was sort of, you know, I guess we haven't really offered any tips except for don't buy games you're never going to play and you know it just to get another game, because that does not help your backlog. This was more, I guess, to establish that we are in the same boat as you. We understand the struggle. This was about credential. So we'll be doing more backlog episodes at some point. Anything to add?
Yeah, I picked up How to Survive Storm Warning Edition for $4. Blue Estate, it was $2.60. And Capsule Force for $5. That was, yeah, I was already interested in Capsule Force because I saw it in the store. I was like, this looks kind of neat. I won't have time to play anytime soon. Yeah. But then it was $5. And I was like, dude, I'm buying it. This looks really fun and weird. So, yeah, totally picking it up.
You see? Same boat. So, for more backlog help, coming soon, aimlesspodcast.com. Guess we do news?
Yep.
RPG never showed up. we'll let him know about the recurring sequence later on.
I guess one tip I would have is just like play one game at a time, or just until you finish the game that you're on, do not start another one, because that's how your backlog can pile up. It's like you just keep moving on to like games without having finished anything that you're currently playing. Then you're like, well, I'm currently playing a bunch of stuff at the same time. I haven't really finished anything. And they, like, kind of what RPG's doing right now, really. I mean, he's always like, oh, Digimon. And then Fire Emblem came out, and he's like, oh, Fire Emblem, Paper Mario Jam, whatever. I haven't finished any of these games. I'm playing them all at the same time. I could probably, like, focus at one at a time, but I totally multitask. I can multitask these, and it's like, yeah. And that's why you have zero on the scoreboard, right? Yep. There you go.
This might be kind of cool. Like, we might be seeing the beginning of someone's backlog. RPG, test subject zero. After the Star Wars thing, I mean, man, there's so many things we can learn from him. All right, on to the news. First news, well, we went over the Hitman thing, so Hitman beta is starting again on March 11th.
So is it basically the same thing just for Plus users?
They were not clear on that, so I have no idea.
I was like, why would they just redo it with, whatever.
Did it feel like a test at all when you played the beta?
Everything was working for me when I played it, so it didn't. I had, like, no crash issues or nothing flying through the floor or any weirdness, so it felt just fine for me. So, I mean, I guess in, like, some of the subtitles, they don't always display, so in that instance, I guess it's just that. Just some stuff that's rough around the edges, but... maybe some, like, weird stuff in the cutscenes, like, sound-wise, but besides that, nothing too terrible.
Hmm. Did you interact with any of the online stuff?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I didn't look at it anyway. It was like, yeah. Because it connected to the servers, and I'm sure it like uploaded all my stuff. I just never bothered looking at it, so I was like, whatever.
Well, cynically, I guess I feel like these are more like demos to just get people hyped up about Hitman. People seem to like the beta. I guess there were a lot of questions surrounding this Hitman, with it being episodic and all this other stuff, and... After the beta, I was like, oh, people seem like, yeah, it looks fun. So the new beta, I'm assuming is just more of that. Get people more on the hype train. Or if they miss the first one, now it's like, you have a second chance. Please pre-order so that you can play this time. The game comes out on the 11th, so 7 days after the beta. They talked about the PS4 exclusive stuff. The Sarajevo 6, which are bonus contracts that have a self-contained side story. Escalation mode, which is just... Apparently they're just going to give you random objectives, not necessarily killing anyone. And anything goes in that mode. So the example they gave was asking you to remove security camera recordings within 2 minutes of being recorded. I don't know. But this is all part of the live components of Hitman. Contracts mode, people are familiar with. And then elusive targets was the thing that we were talking about earlier, where it's sort of a limited time in real time event that you have to do. And each one comes with backstory, and you get in-game rewards for completing multiple elusive target contracts.
Can't do that in the full version.
Yeah, I guess... In the comments for this blog post on PlayStation Blog, they said, the elusive targets are elusive by nature. They'll only be in the game world for a limited time, and then they're gone forever. They're part of the live component of the game. If you're waiting on the disc release, then you will miss out on elusive targets. So, very digitally tangible incentive to start the game early.
I think maybe, like, this in Street Fighter, like, talking about the whole, or, like, this specifically, like, maybe, like, that's, like, the balancing act that they have to, like, weigh of, like, you know, what is going to be in the disc version for people that buy it physically versus people that can, like, get it digitally and then, like, that play it online versus people, or, like, people that, like, might, well, I guess it's kind of weird to, like, imagine this, like, don't have access to the internet so they can't play the online components. So maybe that's, like, one of the things that they have to weigh, that they're, like, why they did that, or why they've done the things that they've done with the game. Because, like, to me, it's like, I don't know why, like, Street Fighter V isn't just, like, Hitman going to be on disc later on when everything is... like, it seems like it's the reverse of the way it should have been, like, released physically. It would be fine if it's, like, just digital for now, and then, like, on disc later, just like Hitman, because it's, like, there's all these features that aren't there that clearly would be, like, fully featured and, like, done if they gave it, like... you know, 6 to 12 months, and then they're like, okay, let's press the discs with these features in them, and then let people buy a $60 disc with these on it, as opposed to, like, if you buy a $60 disc without these things that are currently not in the game, it's like, hey, you don't have online, and you can't connect, that's a whole can of worms of, like...
That's kind of weird.
Not a good idea, Capcom. You probably should have did the Hitman route here, but hey, whatever, so...
or maybe it's for the pro scene, because, like, if they don't have discs, then it's like, you have to bring that console. actually, yeah, that's an interesting point to bring up, because we were talking about sales and how digital games, it's kind of happening. Like, digital games without all the overhead, you can get them super cheap. And so perhaps developers and publishers are starting to think about how do you give value to people who are definitely going to pay more because they're buying it at the beginning. And maybe the sort of hazy value of I got to play it first is not enough to convince the amount of people that they want to buy it at launch. Interesting questions. Who knows? Other thing, also Sony related, they apparently have sent out invitations to a PlayStation VR event at GDC. It's going to be March 15th, San Francisco, California. It's an invite-only event, and we already found out that the Rift costs $599. It's coming out in March, and Valve's HTC Vive, they announced this week, is going to be $799 in April.
Oh, man.
Do you think this is the time that they're going to announce pricing and launch information? Or is it more for developers?
I think it's more for developers. I think if they don't announce the E3, if they do announce it, it'll be at E3. If not, it'll be at one of the game conference extravaganza events during the between E3 and PAX season or whatever it's called.
Convention season.
Convention season.
So you don't think that they're gonna hit their first half of 2016 launch?
Is that what they said?
That's what they said.
Oh, well, I would like to see that happen. part of me is like, they could do it really cool where they do the whole at E3 thing and then like do the Saturn style, like
it's out tomorrow.
Or April or Apple style, like it's out, yeah, at the end of the week or something. So maybe, but I don't know. I don't know. If the price is like, if it's lower than like the other two, then yeah, I think they could do that. But if it's like, not, then probably not.
It's going to be interesting. So we know that 2 years ago is when they first announced Project Morpheus at GDC. Then they said, launch is going to be first half of 2016. This is sort of similar to back before the PS4 came out. And they were quoted, people at Sony were quoted as saying like, oh, you don't. They said something like it was better to announce second, but then they went ahead and announced the PlayStation 4 in February and they were the first. So my original prediction for this year was that they would have a sort of PlayStation 4-esque reveal event in February, at which they would announce the release information for PlayStation VR. Obviously, unless it's happening in the next 9 days or 5 days, that's not going to happen. This is the next major event. They are inviting press to it.
Oh, so I could see this being the case, actually, because I would think they wouldn't want to overload their E3 stuff with VR stuff that could, like, who knows, in this era where we rip everything down and don't celebrate games because we're all so heartless and unhappy with our lives.
Yeah, like now they're in a situation where they know the price of the other, like all other VR technology stuff, they know the prices of. Rift's coming out at $600, plus you need a $1,000 computer. Vive is coming out at $800, plus you need a $1,000 computer. And so, you can't discount that the PlayStation 4 costs $350, but the PlayStation 4 costs $350. Like, that is not a $1,000 computer. And then, whatever this thing is going to cost. Rumored pricing has been basically everywhere. We've seen rumor price that it would be $800. We've seen $299 for just the headset. And if you need all the other stuff, camera, move controllers, a game or whatever, it would be like $430 or something like that. And then this week, there was a Czech website that says it will be around $400-something. Do you think they're going to be able to do it cheaper? Cheaper than the other two, anyway.
Yeah.
And does that make a huge difference?
that I would say yes to both, because I mean, last gen and this gen, we have Kinect and all the issues with that, so I'm pretty sure they don't want to be in the same boat that Microsoft was in, having this thing that they're trying to sell that's just not gaining traction at all because of the price.
I'm hopeful, but I don't know anymore, because like with new technology anyway like this. Although I guess that's the thing, I don't really understand what the technology is. You know, is it new, or are all of these existing technologies that they've just put together in a way that it can be used as VR? Because if it's all new, then it's hard to drive the price down, because all the new stuff is expensive to make. But if it's all repurposed stuff, then I think there's like wiggle room, and they can figure out, okay, how do we make it the cheapest possible? And I feel like, yeah, PlayStation after the, was it $599 at launch? PS3?
Yeah. $599 US dollars.
You know, ever since then, all of their stuff has been reasonably priced, at least the stuff that they have to announce at press conferences. So when Vita came out, it was $350, and everyone was very surprised that it was $350. And when PlayStation 4 was announced at $399, people were surprised that it was $399. Ecstatic, but I think surprised as well. Will they do it again? Or will they be like, oh, our closest competitor is $600? Then we can totally do $500 and be okay. Maybe. Well, I'm excited. Although, Vive looks really awesome. Have you seen anything about it?
Nope.
It is. So, I think Rift is like the least exciting now, because Rift is just a head-mounted display, and it has, you know, you put the sort of sensor in front of you on your computer desk, and then so you can move your head around, and it can track that. PlayStation VR, kind of the same thing. Vive has two sensors, and you can walk around the room, and because it has a camera on the front, it apparently can protect you from running into things. There is a video out for a game called Hover Junkers. It's basically you walk around. So in VR, what you see is you're walking around on this platform, and you can pick up metal pieces of scrap and like put them on the sides to use as cover. And then you fly the platform around and find other people also on flying platforms. And then it's like a deathmatch type shooter game. And the video is really impressive because the guy is walking around with this VR headset, and he's not running into anything. It's just like, wow, that's really cool. It doesn't seem like he's sticking his arms out, and he's not hitting any of the computers or anything like that. It's like, that's amazing. Like, that is the VR, I think, that people, I don't know if want, but that's sort of what they envision. It's like this holodeck feeling, where you know where the walls are, but in your virtual reality, there are no walls there. So you never run into the walls. But yeah, $800, man. Oh yeah, I sort of touched on it. They announced $799, coming out in April. Essentially the same specs on the PC required to run it. GTX 970, you know, all that stuff. And then also bundling two games, just like the Rift. But this time it's Job Simulator, the 2050 Archives, and Fantastic Contraption, which feel less exciting than the ones that Rift are offering, which is Lucky's Tale and Eve Valkyrie. And man, the price.
Yeah. I was like, man, if I could get some sweet Steam Machine bundle with, like, a free Steam Machine.
A free $1,000 Steam Machine.
Yeah. That would run this.
Then, actually, that would be a good bundle. $800 for the Vive and a $1,000 computer? Not bad. Man, that price. So, I'm really, you know, it's all on you, PlayStation. If VR is going to be big this year, it's going to be PlayStation's. Just because of cost.
Wow, this is so weird. It's like all the hype was just like building.
And then it was kind of,
you got the prices. Yeah.
Nope.
It's like the aforementioned VR apocalypse RPG mentioned of like, oh, it's just Wii and Kinect again. Yeah, Mike and Drew. So. Hopefully not, but I guess. Yeah.
Thanks, RPG. Thanks a lot.
Terrible. What was my last? I only had three stories today. So, earlier today, Naughty Dog released the Uncharted 4 A Thief's End story trailer. Did you see it?
I haven't seen it. I'm not going to watch it because I don't want to ruin anything. I'm at that point where it's just like blackout.
It looks amazing. But, you know, everyone knows it's going to look amazing. What happened was, apparently, there's a scene in the trailer that had a piece of artwork on one of the walls, and someone from Ubisoft was like, hey, that's Black Flag concept art. And it turned out it was Black Flag concept art. And so Naughty Dog, they were like, they put out a statement later in the day, in our eagerness to get the story trailer out, we made a regrettable mistake and didn't thoroughly vet the artwork used for an in-game painting. We've already updated the trailer. We hold all artistry in high regard and take full responsibility for having allowed this to happen. We want to sincerely apologize to everyone at Ubisoft, the Assassin's Creed team, the original artist, and our fans. Naughty Dog. Can you believe that? That's crazy.
That seems like a major oversight.
Yeah, that's like a huge oversight. The weird part, though, so right now, like when you watch the original version, it shows the painting, and it's sort of like a seaside with a mountain. And then the very, like, it sort of fades into another scene, and it's that location. So there's, like, Drake waking up on the seaside, and there's, like, a mountain in very much the same shape as in the painting. Do you think there's more to this? Like, did someone at Naughty Dog find this and like, oh, that looks cool, and then they actually built the environment based off of that, and then now, would that be an issue?
It could go either way. It's like, either they like saw it and was like, oh, let's build that, that looks really cool, or they just like, it happens to be a very geometrically similar looking location, and it just, I don't know. I haven't seen it, so I'm not sure, but yeah, I doubt it was like, oh, let's just copy this location from this game, and it was just more of a like, oh, let me, whenever the person's in there, like, making the seaside landscape of like, oh, it's doing their, whatever that painter dude's name is, Bob Ross, like, oh, let me just add some seascape, little mountain here, some vines, and then just
happy little mountains.
Just some happy little mountains that have them look like the Assassin's Creed happy little mountains. Because they were the, well, I guess they weren't them, but I don't know. Were they them? Is it the same thing, or you said it's concept art, right?
Yeah, so like, it's basically, it shows a painting in Drake's house, and it's like concept art is the painting. And then it cuts to the next scene, and it's like Drake is there, and it's the mountain.
Oh, that's, like, that is interesting.
What did they do? Maybe. Like, did they just look up seaside with mountains and then found a picture and was like, I'm going to model that for Uncharted.
That's probably what happened, I think. It's like, they just did that. And
I wonder, like, is that going to become an issue? Is the game going to get delayed because they didn't vet this piece of monitoring and then
the game.
Like, oh my gosh, we have to totally change that mountain because we accidentally used it and it was from another game.
They didn't have to change the mountain, they just have to change the concept art and be like,
They changed the concept art,
but the
mountain is already in the game, from what we can tell. Because this is
so. Is the new concept art in the trailer not look like anything in the mountain?
Kind of like it. Like, so, the distinctive part of the concept art is the mountain. There's sort of there's a hole in the mountain, so it extends over onto the ocean, and then there's like a hole where you can see through it. So only part of the base. At that end of the mountain is in the water, and then it's like a cave. And in the new concept, in the new painting, which replaces the concept art from Assassin's Creed in the trailer, doesn't have that hole. And then when you see it, the actual location in the game, it does have that
hole. I'm sorry, this is just too funny. I can't believe this is happening. Wow, just. How does that happen? Oh man, someone's in trouble at Naughty Dog. It's like, dude. Now I'm wondering, is like, did they just like randomly find this like concept art like online, or did they like look at the like maybe there's some gallery in the game after they finish it and they're like looking through concept art like, oh man, this looks so sweet, we should put this in our next game, and then they just happen to do it and they're like, maybe we should put it in a painting and it'll like fade into the next scene. Instead of like just making a different thingy of concept art, they just like rip. But it just seems like if they're an artist, they would just like make their own and like not just use the flipping one that was in Assassin's Creed. So it's like, I don't.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's crazy. That's crazy.
I hope this is sort of the end of it, because if it's not, that would be pretty bad.
Yes, it would. Or maybe they could just like do like a like black and white one and be like it's monochromatic, therefore it's like completely different. Well, I mean, it's like obviously if they like redo the drawing and they're like, okay, we're just gonna like put a monochromatic one in the game. F it, who cares if it's not color? It'll fade in, like just amazing. Whatever, just do it. Totally not the Assassin's Creed one. We got this, guys. Yeah,
totally not the Assassin's Creed. The thing is, like, if that painting wasn't in the trailer. And, like, you just saw the 3D model in a render of the place that Drake is at. Maybe, like, no one would have noticed. Like, there are mountains and there are ocean, and it's not going to be 100% the same one as the one in Assassin's Creed, so you can't call it copying. I don't know. All right, well, so then, clearly, we cannot end on that story. Even though, like, it is humorous to us, but it could turn into something not humorous. So we will leave it at, let's see here. So PlayStation Plus's March games have been announced, starting March 1st. Wait, what is happening? This is not the right page. Oh, this is for, Nope, I will find it. Here we go. So, in the vote to play, Broforce won. So, Broforce is one of our free games for PS4. The other one is Galaxy, the roguelike space shooter that neither of us have been able to finish. Then on PS3, it's The Last Guy and Super Stardust HD. And finally on Vita, it is Flame Over, which I understand is a roguelike where you're a firefighter, and Reality Fighters, which was that AR fighting game that came out at the Vita's launch. Pretty interesting lineup here. Most of them are really old games. What do you think is happening over at PlayStation Plus?
I don't know, job to go to work.
It seems weird. Like, Super Stardust HD was almost a launch game. Reality Fighters was a launch game. The Last Guy was...
Maybe they just had, like, a little, like...
Quiet a while ago.
Lottery machine where they, like, put names on balls, and it's, like, each name's a game, and they just, like, spin it every month, and they're like, alright, guys, let's pick the game. Woo! Stardust HD, you're the winner.
You win money! And then they go and give a bunch of money to the developer.
Yeah, it's like a literal lottery system. It's like, well, the game's gonna be free for months. We have to. Who are we going to subsidize this month with the Plus lottery?
Except, I think all of these games are published by Sony, except for Flame Over and Broforce.
Oh well, in that case,
we win all the money. Yeah. Anyways, that is the news we have today. That was fun. Next week, I don't know what's going to happen. So if you want to know, check us out at aimlesspodcast.com and follow us on YouTube and Twitter. All of our Twitters. That's probably the easiest way to do it. And then, you know, we're also at the other places, Twitch, Facebook, iTunes, subscribe.
Oh man, Chapter, I thought of like two other questions for weeks, and we can talk about it later, but yeah. RPG's not here. Maybe he'll be here next week. Who knows? Maybe he was here this whole time. He's just like, I'm not showing up to the podcast because I have games to finish. I'm sick of having zero on the scoreboard.
He's just Digimoning in the background.
So yeah, that's it for this episode. Like Tropical said, check us out everywhere else on the internet. And until next episode, or until you see her from us again, Aimless Bubble Z, over now, signing off.